I'm hurt, but I'm an addict. And can we start this meeting off with a moment of silence again, please, for that still suffering inside and outside these rooms. Amen. Again, my name is Herb and I'm an addict. My claim date is 10/5/99. And a good friend of mine named Justin had asked me close to 8 months or 9 months ago if I would return again to the Journey Continues to share. And it was just an honor to be able to, for him to ask me to do this again. You know, like, And he told me what the topic was, but like, I forgot long before, you know. And on the way up here, you know, like my sponsor and my sponsee brothers, you know, we're trying to figure out what it is that each one of us is going to be sharing on. And like, we couldn't figure it out until we like got to the door, you know. And I thought I was going to speak on how it works, and like got the basic text and started reading through it a little bit, and then Justin had told me, you know, at registration that I would be sharing on what can I do, and to the best of my knowledge, you know, like what can I do, I got to go way back when I was a little kid, and it's what I couldn't do, you know, and like for me, I know one of the first things that I couldn't do that I was asked to do was like follow directions. You know, like my parents asked me to like to make my bed or to clean a floor or to do some dishes, and like I wasn't able to follow those directions. You know, I literally had to get my butt whooped in order for me to follow that direction. What was given to me by my parents for what it was that I was supposed to be doing, you know, and that was just like a household chores and stuff like that. And like this behavior continued for me throughout junior high school, but I couldn't like follow no directions. So if there was any kind of school teacher or principal or anything of such nature that asked me to do anything, I couldn't follow their direction, you know. So like I realized today that like I was obsessed with this thing called obsessive compulsive behavior, and like I couldn't do nothing, you know. Not that I couldn't do it. I just didn't want to do it, you know. There was nothing that I wanted to do in my own household, let alone in elementary school, junior high school, or high school, and like I know to this day that like that behavior really affected, you know, me and my active duty. Because like given a direction that for me to not to do something, I always did the opposite. So if you told me not to smoke marijuana, you know, I thought, well, why not smoke marijuana? You know. What is it that is doing so terribly wrong to people that you don't want, and you're asking me not to do it? So I did it, you know. I saw the behavior in my immediate household at first, you know. And like, I can remember my mother saying something to me that was like, don't do as I do as I say, you know. And like that went right out the window, because if you was doing something that you told me not to do, I thought, well, if you're doing it, why can't I do it, you know? And if you told me not to do it, I just fought against that grain all the more. That really affected me throughout my adolescent years, because like, when you said not to take something from other people, you know, and I wanted something, that's exactly what I did. You know, if I saw a nice bicycle somewhere locked up, and I knew it didn't belong to me, but I wanted one, and I went and took it, you know. And that led me to being on juvenile probation. And then while being on juvenile probation, I was given directions for stuff that I was supposed to not to do, to do, or not to do, and did the opposite. You know, I just didn't like following directions from anyone. I seemed like, it, to me, that like I thrived off of the consequences of whatever my behavior caused me of doing. And that led me to a juvenile detention center. And, you know, like when you're in a juvenile detention center, the judge sends you to a period of time, and if you're on good behavior, you can get out on the minimum of that length of time, you know, you can get out. But, like, that wasn't happening with me also. You know, this behavior just keep continuing for me all the way until I was an adult. And then I went from juvenile detention center, and eventually I went to jail, you know. And as I went to jail, you know, my relatives and people who loved me and people who cared about me, and I believe to this day, I do truly believe in my heart, that like in the juvenile detention center, there were some recovering addicts also in there that worked there. And like they was telling me, like, look, listen, man, you know, the behavior that you're going about is going to keep you not only in this place, but you're going to go to jail also. And I just simply thought, oh, man, you crazy, you know, it ain't no way, you know what I'm saying? And it happened, you know. I went directly to jail after juvenile detention center. And like, just going in and out of jails and in and out of jails, you know. And like, wouldn't like take no direction from anybody. So I couldn't do anything, you know. There wasn't too much of anything that I could do. Until I learned that like, my disease had me so much in the grips of using that I taught myself and the behavior of other active addicts how to get more, you know. And I did that, you know. I robbed, I steal, I prostituted, and I did anything by any means to get more. And an awakening happened to me on October 5th of 1999. I was charged with 2 counts of possession with the intent to deliver. And a police officer came up to me and said, hey, look, listen, I know you've been struggling with the disease of addiction for quite some time now. I'm going to give you an opportunity to get yourself clean and get your life together. Either you can get honest and, like, protect the dope man, or you can tell the truth and, like, free yourself of this, and, like, I'm going to send you in a direction, and I'm sure you know what direction that is. And I got honest on that day, you know. And, you know, I got sentenced after that. When I went to sentence court, you know, with my past, I just knew I was going to do at least 3 years, minimum, 6 years maximum. And the judge gave me 1 year probation and $1,000 fine. And by the grace of God, I got the Narcotics Anonymous and the people that's in this fellowship to thank for that. And when I came to this fellowship, you know, I went to the rehab, Stepping Stones Rehab, and they said, you know, like the first step is admitting that I was powerless. And I didn't like to admit to anything. And that's like something to do with what can I do, you know. The first thing that I can do is I can admit. You know, and when I do admit, you know, like some of the other things comes along through that. And so I did. I admitted that first step, that I was powerless over my addiction. My life became unmanageable, you know. And they suggested at the rehab that, like, after I get out of rehab, that I go to 90 meetings in 90 days. And, like, mind you that, like, I tried to be clean throughout the period of time of my life, but, like, I just couldn't follow that direction. I just didn't want to surrender. I didn't just, you know, I just didn't want to give up. You know, I couldn't do anything. You know, it goes back to, you know, what can I do? But I couldn't do anything. You know, until I got into the program of NA, I couldn't do anything. You know, my life was unmanageable. I couldn't do anything. But like when I surrendered and I applied the first step to my life, you know, and I admitted that I was powerless, then I was able to like do some other things that followed. Like some of the little things that's suggested around here is like 90 meetings in 90 days. You know, and I did that. And that's what I could do. You know, I did that. And, you know, and I stayed clean for that, you know, that amount of time. And then, like, they said, sign up for, set up for coffee, you know, to chair the set up person. And I did that also, because that kept me going to meetings, and that kept me from being around the old people, places, and things that I used to, like, love to be around. So that's what I could do. You know, when I surrendered and I applied the first step to my life, I changed my people, places, and things like you suggested me to do. And like, throughout that time, you know, things started getting better. Like, I walked off that year of probation. You know, that, because of NA, that's what happened to her. You know, like, I paid off the $1,000 fine. Because of you people, that happened. That's what happened to me. That's what I could do. I started to learn how to be a productive member of society. You know, and like just those little things. You know, like some of the other little things that, you know, like I work in my life. You know, like I wake up, I wash my face, I brush my teeth, I say my prayers, and I make my bed. Before I get back in my bed again, I make it. Because like that tells me like how my day went when I return back to my bed. That's what I can do today. And it's because of you that I'm able to do that. You know, like step two, you know, you said after step one, you know, like move on to the next step. You know, my sponsor, you know, like said, move on to step two. And that's to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood it. And, or is that step three? Step two, tend to believe a power greater than ourselves to restore us to sanity. And that's what I could do also. You know, and like, at first, in the beginning, you know, like, it was the rules of NA that was the power greater than me. That like 2 dozen people will be at the same meetings over and over again. And like the same people would be there that I once knew before. And that was the power that was greater than me. That what I could do was like follow the direction of those people. They went to meetings, and they kept going to meetings, and they kept going to meetings, and they kept listening, and they kept listening. And what most importantly, what they said to me was like, keep coming back. You know, like, we love you, Herb, keep coming back. So like all of what you suggested to me and what you said to me rubbed off on me so where I was able to do whatever it is or what can I do. And you know, like, what can I do is like, has to do with like all of those things. It's just like slowly but surely they just came together at times, you know. And like and then it's step three also, to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood it. And you know, like I did that, but like there's times throughout the day that I take that will back. You know, and I got to get honest, you know, like I do, you know, I surrender something and then it gets better. And then I say, okay, God, I got it. And you know, like there goes another knot on Herb's head again, you know, and there goes the, what I can do and what I can't do back to the what I can't do instead of sticking with the what I can do, you know, Like one of the things, for example, someone asked me, are you still driving? And I said, yeah. You got a driver's license? No. You just haven't been caught yet. You know? That's her will, that ain't God's will. You know? And that's the honesty of the program. And like I was worried about coming down today because my funding was on Rockville. I had did a job for somebody and I didn't think this lady was gonna pay me. But she did. She paid me. She didn't pay me all the money, but she paid me the majority of the money. You know. That was God's will. You know. God knew I went out there and I worked and I sweat and I bust my butt on this job. And he knew and she said that I was planning on coming down here today. You know, and it all worked together. I also can be honest and say I've gotten complacent. Just I've been on my fourth step for a while now. You know. And don't nobody knock me for it or anything like that. They just see that instead of me doing step four is doing me. You know, it's just with the driver thing. You know? And it's just, you know, this program, I can't say enough about it, you know, how my life was going with what I couldn't do. But today, you know, it's the little things that people see in her that know that what I can do. And you see that I show up, you know. Most importantly, I think, just most importantly for me and the newcomer, the newest newcomer is just showing up to a meeting, you know. Just showing up just to listen. Just showing up just to get that hug, you know. That's what I can do. I can show up at a meeting and I can give somebody a hug. Because when you do that, everything else follows. Everything else follows through this. And I just want to say thank you to everybody. And I love you all. And God bless you. Thanks a lot. My name is Herb.
Okay, I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Raheem, from the Saturday Night 12 at 12. I'm named Raheem. And Herb, I need to take a moment, silence, for the still suffering addicts, inside and outside, these rooms. For the addicts, who don't know that they're addicts, without the use of drugs, Thank you. I'm an addict. My name is Raheem, and I guess I'm speaking on how it works. Now, it was really funny because, Herb just spoke on what can I do, so we both speak on the same topic. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Well, I didn't see. Then an addict. I'm like, well, Herb, what can I do? All right. Well, the first thing, first of all, what I can do today, where I'm at today, I got 7 years clean. My clean date is June 10th, 95. Like my sponsor always say, I don't say that to boast or brag. I just say that to them so that any others know that there is hope and that recovery is possible. An addict like me, it took me 13 years to get a year. 13 years to get a year. If I didn't know anything else, I knew about keep coming back. I was a type of addict, they talk about, you can't save your ass and your face at the same time. Didn't even bother me. And my ass is on fire. I broke up into detox, rehab, anywhere. I didn't get embarrassed about how long it took me to get a year until I get my third step with my sponsor about 2 years, you know, 2.5 years later. And I mean, out of nowhere, I just got, just got embarrassed. Like, wow. But what can I do? First thing I have to do is admit complete defeat. See, I'm the type of addict, I can't surrender. If y'all surrender in the morning, I'll be back at you at night. I'll give you many of battles, but I'll be damned if you're going to win the war. Not the addict I am. I'll lose the skirmish, and I'll lose the battle, and I'm going to take you down for the war. And that's how I was in my active addiction, you know. I was the type of addict that was like somewhat of an intellect. But when it came down to religion and philosophy, I was a scholar. You understand? Grew up with this. And God would give me some other gifts, you know, to be of service and to help people waiting for, like I became an active using addict, and I knew about Narcotics Anonymous. Well, in my active addiction, I used those blessings I used those blessings to P-R-E-Y. I use those blessings to pray on people, all right? All types of people that are like religious people. I'm talking about pastors, bishops, imams, you name it. You know, like, as an addict, you know, I was such a chameleon, okay? And so whatever it is, what faith needed, I knew just enough about this to get that, you know? But what can I do? I had to make complete defeat. I had to like stop being sponsored by this lunatic sponsor, me. For 13 years, I didn't have a sponsor. I had me. My thing was me and God to do this. Cause like I said, I'm Mr. Philosophy and religious man. What can I do? I need to come up in the meetings and start learning about my identification. Cause all I did was compare. I come up in there with like a month clean. 6 weeks clean, I look around the room, and I'm calling people spiritual pimps. So you don't know nothing about this. You don't know nothing about God. You know about religion. You're talking this, you're talking that. Wouldn't be 2 weeks, I'm back on the set. Like, how did I get back here? And this happened time and time and time again for me, you know. What can I do? I finally, like I said, admitted complete defeat. I used to go in and out of rehab. I used to hear them stats, you know, like, well, only 1 out of 33 of y'all gonna get it. Once again, like, what do you know? You don't know nothing about this, how many people gonna get it, you know? At the end of that 12th year, when I hit my last rehab and they made that statement, I looked around the room and I told everybody up in there, I don't know if it's true or not, about 1 out of 33, but you other 32 better find another rehab. All right? And I meant it. And by the grace of God in this program, I'm only one clean from that 33. What can I do? I had to get a sponsor. Number one. First, I had to grieve. I was up in rehab. I had to grieve. You know, because I admitted complete defeat. So I had to grieve. I didn't know what I was doing, but as I was reading, pamphlets and whatnot, it hit me. They take us down to a meeting. I heard a gentleman speaking at the meeting and whatnot, you know. Never had a sponsor, but, you know, I like what he said. I like what he heard, you know what I mean? And I need to say that, you know, I need to be real honest, you know. Today, I'll get to that. I like what he shared. Like I said, I was able to, like, be with all type of people. I'm a comedian. I can be with white, black. But then you never know what my real feelings may be about you. Red, Puerto Rican, I mean, I was like what you call the Rainbow Coalition. I took from everybody, and a lot of the wrong people. I took dope from parents, but then no, going to the Puerto Ricans. I might took some dope from, you know, her, and didn't know it belonged to the Italians. You understand? And had to, like, you know, what's the word? Go underground. So detox rehab, here I come. Our time-saving relationship, detox rehab, here I come. trying to save a job. Detox rehab, here I come. Just so beat down. Detox rehab, here I come. You know, but like I said, I was a chameleon, okay? So what I had to do was like, through identification, there was this man, you know, and I'm hearing him share at the meeting. So that's what I was, heard him share, and I learned about grieving. So then all of a sudden, something happened. I didn't know it was acceptance at the time, but I had grieved. I was like, you got to go. This lover that I had was treating me bad. Alright? I mean, I didn't need, I don't know if I wanted to call active addiction. I just got to call it an it, because you couldn't call it a woman. You couldn't call it a man. I mean, it was just made up of all types of animals, you know? Everything. Just, what I'm trying to say is that I would take upon the characteristics, you know, of all of them. I study it. And I study what, I mean, the power of a woman. You know, how soft could destroy hard. I study the animals, you know? Study men, hard things break. I mean, I study this. Study, study, study. And then, like, you know, when I was able to let this go, and got to the acceptance, you know? I was able to walk up to a man. I ain't never had a sponsor. There's no sponsor was. I walked up to a man and I says, you know, God, would you be my sponsor? Didn't know what the sponsor was. Didn't know what his reaction was going to be. The man looked at me, he said, it'd be an honor and a privilege. You know? And man, it had been so long since it had been an honor and a privilege for anyone to walk by him around. To be honest, it had been so long for it to be an honor and a privilege for Raheem to walk Raheem around. You understand? Full of self-hatred. But I didn't understand at that time that that was the core, that was the nature of my disease, you know. But he says, can you take suggestions? And I said, yeah. I heard him speak at the meeting, and I wanted what he had. Didn't know what, but he, you know, I wanted what he had. And so he gave me my first recovery tape. I didn't even know this stuff even existed. Gave me a tape, and I think the lady's name was Jackie from Baltimore or something. And I mean, man. I mean, I played that tape over and over and over and over, and I could identify what she was talking about. And I'm like, okay, there's other people like me. I got out of the rehab, went back to my hometown. You know, I could have went to live with my family, you know, but I was like, nah, I mean, you know, can't do that. They told me in a couple of days I could get in a halfway house. In a couple of days, you know, so I decided to go to a shelter. You know, because I had too much family around me to go, you know. I mean, I was the type of addict like I worked. You understand? I mean, household, work, did it all. You know. And I knew if I went to my family, you know, damn, I'm going to end up here again. You know, my mom's going to talk trash, but she's going to enable me. And I went to a shelter. They said it's going to be about 2 weeks before you get in the halfway house. Talked to my friends about it. We thought, I said, I need to go there for me. I went there within 2 days, I was in the halfway house. Once again, got to the halfway house. Called my sponsor on the phone. My sponsor lives in Needville, 40-something miles away. To show you that, hey, sponsorship will work. Your sponsor ain't got to live in the same town you live in. Your sponsor ain't got to be on the same block. Sponsorship will work. My sponsor told me to cop my recovery like I cop my drug. Well, I went all over this United States to get it in. And I wondered what he had to, you know, to offer. You understand? So I had to, like, you know, his sponsor told me to get in his back pocket. My grand sponsor told me to get in my sponsor's back pocket and to work him. And it's 7 years later, I'm still working. I'm talking about working. Because I'm going to be here. You know? And I can continuously want what he has. So, what can I do? He said, like, shut your mouth. He said, get a reading, sit in the front, and shut your mouth. Whoa. He said that if we want to cop, if anybody in the room want to cop, then we'll ask you a question. But that's about all you know today is how to cop. You give some information. That's the feelings about it, but like, I wonder what he had. I'm like, I can do that. And that's what I did. Got the meetings early, picked up coffee cups, you know what I mean? Straighten up the chair. That's what he told me to do. Okay? Then, what can I do? Before I can even find out, like, like about steps and things like that, you know what I mean? My sponsor's talked to me. My sponsor taught me how to chair. Okay, my sponsor and his significant other took me to a place to eat. I didn't eat with doctors and judges and dentists and lawyers. Look here, after that, 25-year run of active addiction, I couldn't even order a menu. I looked at them, they bought like $65, $70 worth of food. I thought they would start raving mad. They got plates in, but I'm sitting there with a little bitty plate starving. They laughing, I'll pay it. But the next time, I knew how to do it. Alright, I knew how to do it that time, the next time. I knew how to do it, but my sponsor taught me how to share. What can I do? I had to learn to listen. I had to learn to follow suggestions. I had to learn, my sponsor, almost stopped for me for the first 6 months. And then I put my sponsor on a pedestal, but I knew that my thinking was distorted. Once I learned that it was my brain and it was my thinking that was out to murder me, once I learned that it was me to out to murder me, I got scared. And I wasn't scared of nothing when I used nothing. Death didn't scare me. Death don't scare an addict. I know people who don't know D's. And I didn't know what they was doing. And they did too much. And I went and got it. And I'm doing the fish and the worm on the floor too, about 2 hours later. Or I'm outside in the snow, butt naked, with a sheet wrapped around me, doing the red fox, holding my heart. I had to make a believer out of me, you see. But my sponsor taught me how to share, my feelings. About feelings. He said, take away the word addiction, but it's always there, and look at it like we admitted we were powerless over our disease, or disease of feelings. I can relate with that. And make our life more manageable. Now I'm ready. But before I could get there, he started me on who's an addict? Who? What can I do? I had to continue. First of all, show up. I had to show up. Show up, not pick up. No matter what. I had to learn to allow other people to be wrong without Raheem having to have a last word. I've been wrong for so many years. Now I'm finally doing something right. And y'all still kind of assassinate my character and bash me. Well, look, I need to, my sponsor, like, hey, you need to learn a lot of other people to be wrong. Because I happen to have the last word. Had to learn about powerlessness. Had to learn about unmanageability. Had to learn about feelings. And share with me. And I look at him with amazement. Like, man, how can these things with me? And spirit and taught me how to be able to share. Get down, to the exact nature of what that disease is all about. Get down. It's a wee thing. What can I do? This is what I need to do. All right, so we started my sponsor man took me from Erie to Meadville to Pittsburgh. I was up and down that highway. He taught me that. The broader the base, the higher the point of freedom. And man, he set a good example for me. He was a beautiful guy. But that's all a sponsor is. He's a guide. And someone to help guide you through the steps and guide you through the traditions. He taught me that I don't have to be a member of the Step of the Month Club. You understand? Take your time doing the steps. He taught me that the steps approach me. No, I approach the steps. I don't work them. All I can do is approach them and say, listen, the steps will incorporate themselves into my life. You see? What can I do? It talks about when we first come around here, about our perception of reality. You know what I mean? Like we would just change reality. Today I'm able to deal with, reality. What can I do? What I do today? Oh, man, I got to look at what part I play in a situation. And man, that's hard. I mean, but it's easy, but it's hard to do. You see, what part I play into a situation, Started doing the step work. I got to meet my grand sponsor. Sponsorship is the key. So between my sponsor and my grand sponsor, and then I got to meet my grand sponsor, you know, back in July. I mean, you know, we were able to go to a sponsorship family picnic, and it went from like my sponsee to me, to my sponsor, to my sponsor's sponsor, to my sponsor's sponsor's sponsor, to my sponsor's 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 sponsor. We took a picture. We took about 6, 7, 9, 12, 14, and 29 years. You understand? You know, what can I do? I can continue to be of help. I mean, you know, to our suffering addicts like today. I have to be on the phone. I look at my sponsor today. I said, man, he's sponsoring 5 or 6 guys, you know, and I'm sponsoring maybe 2 or 3, you know, sponsoring 2 guys, to be honest, but there's like 2 or 3 more that's around, you know, because yeah, he taught me that some people you sponsor spiritually, some people you sponsor in name, you know. What can I do? You know, continue to stay on the phone a little longer, you know. What can I do? Continue to learn about, like, relationships, okay? Like, going through the steps, 1 and 2, and the insanity, and 3, getting to understand, you know, man, like, out of like me, what can I do? I have to learn to look at everybody as human beings. You understand me? Because out of like me, like I said, Malcolm X died on my birthday, 1965. Out of like me, I learned what I was, all there was to learn. Out of like me, my name is Raheem. Out of like me, I'm an Asiatic black man. Out of like me. And I had to learn to even look at humankind. Okay? Humankind, what can I do? Learn to accept people. Learn to believe the literature. The literature says age, race, creed, religion, or lack of. Well, I mean, I looked at age, creed, religion, but you know, I still like, oh man, that race thing, you know what I mean, you know. And I still want to hold on to old resentment. You understand? I'm still wanting to blame. He taught me about blame. You know, what can I do? You know what I'm saying? Continue to show up, you know, not to pick up, continue to work steps. Today I have like a fiance in my life, you know what I mean? She's a human being of the caucus of Asians, as I told her on the way down. I broke it down to her, you know. But she's like really my, you know, soulmate. She's my soulmate. You know, this last couple weeks has been really rough. I got a daughter who just went to college and took her down to college at Kent State. Freshman year, another daughter who's a senior. These last 2 weeks, it has been like pretty tough. Like my sponsor told me though, in the last 7 years, my daughter's been, come to expect that I'm super dad. You know what I mean? And like, you know, but dad's gonna be there for them. I mean, I did that to teach my daughters some things. I mean, I understand that the disease of our feelings, that the disease of addiction is a family disease. You know, I understand that like women do the choosing. So it's my job to teach. I'm a man, so it's my job to teach my daughters how to choose. And I do that through a recovery base. You understand? I teach my daughters like, you know, you don't have to work for no man. You work with a man if you choose to. You understand? So like, you know, my daughters are beautiful young girls. And like, you know, what you're going to need is going to be here. You ain't got to go out and get married from them young boys slinging that dope, this, that. No. It's here. Without a doubt, it's here. Couple more years, I mean, this is an investment. My daughter told me last week, well, Dad, you know, I'm going to be a corporate lawyer, you know, I'm going to take care of you. I said, all right, I believe you too, honey. I really do. Today was the first day she told my significant other that she loved her. She called this morning, I wasn't there. She had a dilemma, you know. My fiance grabbed her phone and took care of her. She called back later and said, you know, I love her. You know, what can I do is share the exact nature of my feelings. That's what I can do. So that if someone else is like suffering or going through a dilemma, you know, similar to mine, I need to get up here and be raw and share the truth about my experience, about my strength, about my hope, you know? I need to share about like having resentments. You understand? I've had resentments at my mother's, at my daughter's mother's, I mean, this last couple of weeks. Boy, My sponsor, he's sitting down there just looking, you know, and he finally called upstairs and he said, well, what's up? You've been quiet for the last 2 days. Because he knows that I'm not a quiet person. All right? As most of us are, we have a gift of gab. Addicts, you know. And he said, you ain't got to share those feelings or go through those feelings alone. Because I've had some feelings, you understand? I mean, to the point of that, you know, I live out of town, but I'm the parent that's doing everything for my daughters, you understand? I made my mom say, but you know, you need to be clean, because you got to be there for your girls. And I just looked at her, but man, I'm so grateful today that, you know, I did get clean, you know, that I was chosen for this program. I don't think Raheem was just fortunate enough to say that, well, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know. The more I go on, I know that I was chosen. This last 2 years, I've experienced three of my sponsee brothers, you know, die, you know. One very good friend picked up, used, caught a staph infection, suffered. Over a 2 year period, he suffered. You know how they say, some of us won't be lucky enough to die? Man, I witnessed that. He was not lucky enough to die. Then, he suffered for 2 years. I watched another one, had, you know, heart problems, and I don't know if he picked up or used or not, you know what I mean? But the behaviors were there. I had another kid I sponsored. I watched the disease of diabetes just eat him up. Chopped off his leg, chopped off his hand, chopped off other parts of his body. But you know what I mean? This young man died clean. He died clean. Going through all this, they're chopping all over him, but he died clean, you know. So this past week, you know, past a couple years, just to witness that, you know, what can I do? I have to continue to get to the exact nature of my disease. What can I do? I continue to be compassionate and empathetic. What can I do? Allow the steps, you know, to work me and incorporate them in my life. And not just the steps of tradition. I come from a sponsorship family, you know, we believe in one and one. I come from a sponsorship family. Where we're from, they call us the Rough Riders. We laugh and have fun. But, like, we don't co-sign each other because this is a life and death thing. We do it in a loving and kind way, but we pull each other up. We pull each other up. That's what this is about. You know, it's life or death. What can I do? Continue to, I mean, this is a copycat way of life. This is a copycat program. You know, continue to learn, you know, from my sponsor and from my grand sponsors and those, you know, before me. And then continue to, like, you know, give it to the people I sponsor or, you know, what contacts I have, you know. What can I do? I believe women with the women, men with the men, you know. Women need help, I push them onto my fiance. You know, so my fiance, you know, she's doing a beautiful job, but, you know, she got work to do. Because God put people in our lives, you know, to enhance our lives. This gentleman here, my sponsor, I've had him for like 6 years, and like, he just enhances my life. I have another one with 2.5, 3 years clean, just enhances my life. I was sharing with my fiance and my sponsor on the way down. I said, man, I know what my sponsor got to feel. He got 4 or 5 guys, you know, that he sponsors, you know. And so, you know, I mean, how many times has he done that fourth step already? How many times has he heard, you know, that third step? And I know how it was when he and I did those steps, how intense it was, you know, truthfully. He taught me that when we did the step work, not only did I, you know, I just didn't sit there and read my stuff. We went through it basic. I mean, portion by portion by portion. As I shared my portion, he came around and shared his with me. He said, yeah, and taught me. My first experience was step one. He taught me that. Then I was able to watch him, like, I was on, like, step one. He might have been on step, you know, 5, 4, or 5. I was able to watch him go through his process, and he would share with me his feelings. Share with me about his defects of characters. Share with me about his shortcomings. You know, gave me the ability to be that honest, you know, to share about mine. You know, what can I do is just continue to tell the newcomer, you know, to, you know, keep coming back. What can I do to keep telling those who are actively using that, look, you deserve a better life. Give them a hug and tell them, you know, you deserve, you know, a better life. What can I do? Continue to show up. You know, not pick up, you know. What can I do? Admit when I'm wrong. You know? What can I do to the best of my ability? Like, live the steps and the traditions in my home. What I look like just going outside and my home being chaos and chaotic, confused, but yet when I step out the door, go to a meeting, put on that NA face or fellowship face, because I mean, the NA face is like, you know, recovery stand, I mean, speaks for itself. You know, I was at a meeting and I heard a woman get up there and say, well, you know, I don't have to defend, you know, I don't think I should defend NA, and I will defend NA to my last breath. I mean, I understand the fellowship is the fellowship, but not Color Synonymous to me is a God-given program. You know, it's a God-given program, you know, that I have been, you know, chosen to be a member of, you understand? Like, it talks about, like, medicine, religion, and psychiatry in our literature. I mean, you know, none of those methods were sufficient. I mean, for me to continue to get the history about how many addicts died, how many addicts were thrown into a sane asylum, you understand? You know, what can I do? Continue to teach, you know, those who come after me, or sending some of those with me, about one fellowship. Continue to teach those one sponsor, and continue to teach those one disease with many symptoms. One disease. You know, like my grand sponsor, you know, we went out to Farmington, and with my sponsor, my grand sponsor, now they got me studying that disease, that dis-ease, and looking at me, and looking at what part I play in things, you know, and, you know, and, man, the emotional attachment, you know, to things. You know, my grand sponsor, my sponsor helped me to see how I can, like, remove something from my head and even remove it from my heart. But emotionally, I'm still attached to it. I know how I was emotionally attached to that lifestyle. You know, I was clean. In my first year and a half, I just got to get honest, you know. I tricked. I was clean. For the first 11 months, I didn't do nothing because I'm the type of addict that girl brought girl to me, and I knew that, man, I had to stop everything. Like, I really stopped smoking cigarettes, you know. The God of understanding is willing, which I know he is, like we said before. But I got to stop smoking, I mean, drinking coffee, too. Ain't no way I'm going to be able to quit smoking cigarettes and drink coffee. You understand? I know this. So, you know, I'm getting prepared, and I'm getting ready for it. I'm just so grateful to be here, because like I said, similar to what Herb spoke about, man, look here, my daughters, I mean, I had my school retreat money here, and this there, and this there, and man, look here, them two girls, I mean, I've been out of $1,200 in the last 2 weeks. I mean, school retreat money gone, and a few other people's money gone. Cable Ben, he didn't get his. You know, like, parents have to sacrifice. Especially a single parent, like, you know, as far as the one who has to be responsible, the one who needs to be, you know, mature. This comes around every year. What can I do? All right, next year this time, you know, I should be able to, like, have, you know, a nest egg, whatever you call it. I should be able to, like, plan, preparation, and purpose. My spouse has experienced this with me 3 or 4 years now. August, I know it's coming. And I just, this year, the God of my understanding just allowed me to get whooped real good, okay? With people being needy in my life. My fiance being needy, my two daughters being needy, my mom got on my nerves a little bit. I said, the only women I want to be around is my granddaughter. Because she was too young to understand. Granddad, here, give her a sucker, she all right. You understand? But that was just my stuff. So I had to look at what part did I even play in that, you know what I mean? And so I had to, like, come back and probably apologize to some people. I had to apologize, you know, tell my sponsor, well, okay, I need to turn this over to the care, you know, God, my understanding, as far as my daughter's mother, you know. What can I do? You know, just, as far as we're sitting there, talking about admit, I was thinking about the word admit and omit. Thank God that Narcotics Anonymous is a program that would admit a human being or a person like me. You understand? You know, admission, that means come in. You know, show up. You know, what can I do? Like I said once again, keep it simple. The first word in the NA text is simplicity. What can I do? Like show up, you know, don't pick up. I go to a meeting, you know, pick up some cups, give out some type of, you know, compassion, give out hope. Give out hope. That's what I can do. Thank you, Matt and Rain.
Let's say thanks again to Raheem and Herb for their experience, strength, and help on what I, we, can do to another day clean and sober. We have just for today, reading just for today, voting, please.